Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Hey! There you go. NFL Australia. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. I'm the editor of CodeBet. That's a very good website. Go check that out. You might also see me now on Fox Sports Lab NFL with my very good friend, Freddie Mitchell, and my other good friend, Matty Campbell. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, chilling, not illing, actually sweating like a priest near a preschool at the moment. Jeez, it's too damn hot. Anyway, on the other side of this here iPad, it is a bloke whose team actually now has to play. It is sometime singer in a band called V Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He's your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Mate, I said I was going to take this week off, and I'm fucking here, Jimmy. I think you should be privileged with my... I was going to take the bye in with my team, but no, it was worth coming along and talking about some fucking wacky football. And for anyone who is watching your videos online, just so you know, we don't do video on this podcast, but he looks vastly different to that corporate whore that you see on the fucking code bet. Jesus, Jimmy. Like, you need to hire professionals at your house, mate.
They call him Corporate Jim. That's what they do.
Corporate Jim.
Either way, Super Wild Card round of the playoffs is done. It was awesome. The only sad part is that I don't get to call the next round the Super Divisional round.
Super.
At what point do we stop calling it the Super Wild Card round, Gats? Because last year, it was the intro of the Super Wild Card, and now it's just the normal one. So what are we doing? Anyway,
yeah,
it was a ripper slate. Loved it. What a week. Lots went on. We'll wrap it all up in the Super Wild Card round wrap of NFL Australia. And then we'll set you up for the divisional round, because that's what we do here on NFL Australia with a couple of tins. So damn hot. Need a couple of tins to get through this one. But the best part, Gaz, this is episode 69.
Yay!
Nice. Of NFL Australia.
Nice. We're going to try and get Gronk to do the intro for that. And that clearly failed.
Fell by the wayside. That's all right. Didn't return my calls. Anyway, episode 69, nice, of NFL Australia.
Nice.
Let's go. I need an adult. I need an adult. Oh, no, I've done it again. I've shit my pants. Oh, hey, this is Brandon Staley, and you're listening to NFL Australia. I guess.
Every time I think those intros can't get any fucking childish, these fucking... I've started a trend at home where I'm like, I'm kind of going after the fact and reviewing what Jimmy's note has been. And it's literally... And I thought it might have been Brett Maher missing extra points. But no, it's not Brett Maher missing extra points.
It was the worst coaching performance
Staley
of the weekend. As he shit himself time and time again.
We're off to a flyer, Jimmy.
We're
off to a flyer. All right.
I feel like we need to bring some levity. This is where we land after the Super Wild Card round. Six big games. It was really fun. We'll fly through the game wraps today. Three sort of thoughts each. We'll sort of just smash all the key points. Really good games, considering it seemed like, even if you looked at the odds, obviously three massive favorites. All of those games are actually really good. Like, actually good, which is kind of weird, right? Like, it was awesome. Yep. We learned that the Vikings are frauds, that your man Dougie P makes that Jags just an absolute complete surprise packet, even though they're 1.5 underdogs at home. Got the big win. That was awesome. I still say it's all Urban Meyer. He put it all together. No.
Just set the foundation, mate. God. Just set the foundation.
Dolphins, surprise packet as well, but didn't win. Gave him a scare. Yeah. Ravens, surprise packet. Gave him a scare. There's a through line there. Third string QBs. Maybe they're good. And this all comes down to also another third string QB. Purdy. He was Purdy good.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Brady. Until he pops up again next year. And then I think the biggest thing coming out of this weekend, though, is just watching all these teams. Everybody's flawed. KC and Philly waiting in the wings. They have their own flaws, but it does feel, having just watched all those teams play, that KC and Philly are the most deserved one seeds we could have hoped for. They do have their qualms. We'll get to that when we preview the games for the divisional round, which we say every year, Gaz. It's usually the best week of the NFL calendar because it's nothing but quality teams for the most part. You've got, what, four really, really, really good games, usually the divisional round. This one's a bit funky, and I blame that purely on the Giants for the most part because I'm like, but there are holes in most of these teams at the moment, so we still will see quality football, but we've got, what, the top four seeds in the AFC remaining and the two top seeds in the NFC left. So I think...
But that said, while in the top four seeds, like, if you look at...
like Jacksonville.
Jags, you probably went... Like, beginning of the season, you were like, all right, if someone said... pick four teams, you would pick three of them. But yeah, judging by the end of the season, yes, they were a division winner, scraped through. On the other side, I think, look, I think the thing that's the biggest surprise in this week that we will get into in a bit is that since the introduction of the seventh seed or the third wild card, everyone just kind of goes, teams are going to roll over. It's almost like a wasted week. And really, the divisional round is the one we have the best football. That's where everyone gives a shit about because you've got the quality of football of the NFC AFC Championship, but more games.
Yeah, but more games.
So you're just like, double. All right, this is the. But this is the fucking great. This is the best competitive fucking games that we got. And then we all got caught by surprise by. There was three double digit. Lines or something like that?
Yeah, three double-digit favorites, basically. I mean, San Francisco, depending on where you look, that was like 9.5 or 10.5 and that sort of stuff. So,
yeah.
But either way, big underdogs,
even that looks
favorites,
sketchy until the half, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
I enjoyed like the rookie head coach vibe as well. We had, obviously, Mike McDaniel, Kevin O'Connell, Brian Daboll. Only, what, one of them gets through? It was a bit weird, a bit wonky, a bit fun, I think, for some of these coaches. I think... these are the sort of moments where you go, aha, the Wunderkinds, McDaniel, O'Connell, even Staley, I guess, for that sort of idea, right? Like the fact that he got hired. And we sort of see those young dudes sort of just fucked off by the wayside, whereas Daboll, just there is a dude you would run through a wall for, right? So kind of liked it. As
fun fact.
To,
fun fact. Well, wait. Yeah, it's all right. I'll talk about it later.
As opposed to any of the Harbaugh brothers, at which point I'm just kind of like, fuck these guys. Interesting moment during what? It wasn't halftime, I think. It was after the first quarter, whatever, in that Ravens game. It's like,
The on-field in.
Not going to turn it over anymore, are we? Yeah, that'd be fucking stupid. You're like, oh, this guy
What do you think about that penalty for your defense at the end? I didn't like
it. That was awesome. What do you think? What am I going to say? Thanks,
I didn't like it.
Meanwhile, Jim Harbaugh. So we don't usually talk anything college-y here on NFL Australia. It's not hashtag college Australia. But I just hate that shit. Like, Jim Harbaugh spent the entire time when he was at the Niners, it felt like positioning himself to go coach Michigan. And then spent a lot of his time at Michigan positioning himself to get a bigger pay packet from either Michigan or from an NFL team. And then sort of runs everybody through the ringer and then goes, nah, I'm staying in Michigan, suck a dick. And you're like, oh, this fucking guy. Anyway, he was a shit coach anyway. Injuries, Gaz, I mean, there's a few.
Yeah. Oof. Look, I tried to, there is a few, but I try and like leave on the ones that matter, I guess, that come from these ones. So Bengals. Fucking their O-line. They're down three starters on the O-line now. Not great coming into the,
it's really
the Final
not.
Four against some of those defenses, right? Ouch. Russell Gage today was taken to hospital.
That was...
seems to be a run. It was a bit
scary.
Brutal.
A little
Absolutely
bit scary. When you're seeing someone twitch on the ground as they try to move their body and they can't, you're like, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not going to be good. Cowboys, who are already a little bit sketchy in the secondary, the safety curse went down with first reports is it's a mild MCL strain, but when you've only got a couple of weeks left, probably not the greatest thing to happen. And then...
Defensive end for the Giants, Ojulari, as off with an injured quad, and he's going to be needed on the end of that offense, that defensive line, to take on that pretty good Eagles offensive line, Jimmy. Yeah,
it's a bit of a tough one, that one.
Yeah, one of my observations that I usually leave this random thoughts was the age of the quarterbacks and the new generation, right? We're without Matty Ryan, we're without Tompa Bray, we're without Drew Brees, we're without Aaron Rodgers. The oldest quarterbacks remaining, Jimmy, Dak Prescott at 29 and Patrick Mahomes at 27.
Unbelievable.
They're the oldest left.
What a great moment this is for the NFL, though. I love that. I absolutely fucking love that.
Oh, the majority are 25 and under. Yeah. Like, it's fucking crazy. It's so good.
The love I have in my heart for Tom Brady, for how much you very clearly love Aaron Rodgers being a big-time Green Bay Packers fan. like, just that simple idea, though, of, like, the next generation being there. Like, fuck Kirk Cousins off as well. Like, see ya. We don't care, Kirk.
Yeah.
Where's that chain now, pal? Where is it? I'm just checking. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Up your ass. Anyway, the vibe of
the second coming of Jesus at 45, who's come back and he's playing like he's a fucking rookie phenom, right?
But it's just stuff like even Herbs and like Trevor Lawrence going head-to-head was fucking awesome. Like, I love that shit. So.
Yeah.
Hook me up with all of the fun young QBs. No, look, I had coaches getting into the neck written here. I'm like, just expecting the Staley...
it was a fizzle, wasn't it?
And I'm like,
Black Monday.
What is going on? What is going on? How has he still got a job? How do you not sack him at three-quarter time? How do you not sack him after the fucking attempted field goal up 10? Because we'll get to that, but hey, Gaz, what's 10 plus 3?
Is that less 13? Than two touchdowns, Jimmy.
Is that 13? Less than two touchdowns. Is that still fucking two scores, Gaz? Is it? I just need to check. I'm no maths magician, but I'm pretty sure that 13 is less than 14. You fucking dummy. Anyway, right, let's get into it. Super wild card
round. I'm pretty sure your response to my text message straight after that game was, what the fuck did we just watch? And your response was, don't let that cunt on the plane.
Don't. Just don't. He's not coming home. Oh, God. I mean, that's a cross-country flight. I mean... Don't stump him a ticket. Tell him to fucking drive. Enough. I don't give a shit. Anyway, super wildcard round. Probably one of my top five phrases I just love saying each year. three takes each for these games. I mean, basically, it's just our way of covering off the game. Six, let's start. We'll go chronological. It's probably easiest from the ones I least remember across the weekend of boozing. Seahawks lose the Niners 23-41 in San Francisco. Yep. Wild game, though.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's comfortable 17, as shit when you look at the scoreline, Jimmy.
17,
surely
and a half.
They had the lead the whole way, surely, Jimmy.
The thing was, wasn't it, like, it was 17-16 and a half, and you turned around, and it was like, the Seahawks had not scored for the vast majority of the second half.
Mm.
And then they finally get, like, a sort of a nice little capper at the end where you go, oh, it doesn't look as bad as he could have. Because when you go... Because it was 41-17. So 17-16 to 17-41 is pretty bad. Like, it's...
Yeah.
That's a shit pumping, guys. A shit pumping.
Yeah.
The 23 makes it feel like far less of a shit pumping, even though it's still 18 points. But the tale of two halves. This is all this was, right? Tale of two halves. My notes here, the 17 at the 16 and a half, like, incredible second half from the Niners. The defense just fucking tore him apart. Purdy woke up. He was horrible in the first half, incredible in the second, four touchdowns. He fucking rules. But my big takeaway, you do get the feeling the Niners can be gotten after watching this game, right? It's like, very clearly, the one weakness they have appears to be, like, on defense at least, just appears to be you can throw on them a little bit. You saw DK get out the back time and time and time again. That's kind of like the thing where you're like, well, if I'm the Eagles, I'd sort of watch that game and feel okay if we end up meeting them, right?
Mm.
That kind of vibe where you go, if we get through the Giants now, I've maybe got a roadmap, maybe.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I sort of came out of that just feeling, A, Niners are awesome. They could easily win the Super Bowl. But there is a little chink in the armor. So,
of course, yeah.
Like, and it wasn't Purdy. I expected it 100% to be Purdy. I think watching the first half, you're like, aha, there you go. It's the shitting the bed game from Brock Purdy. Nah. Rock'em, sock'em, Brock'em, Purdy was pretty good. So there you go. I love this. This was a really fun game to watch, though, which was kind of the cool part, too. Like, Seahawks putting up that fight in the first half, and then the Niners sort of just giving the old, all right, now we'll choke him out, and then just choking him out was really fun. So there you go. Yeah. What do you reckon?
Look, I think the key thing for me was if you microanalyze that first half, the first quarter, like the first three drives, the 49ers moved at will. It was like 20-yard, like I think there was, I think I counted six 10-yard, more than 10-yard plays in the first three drives. Yep. They were just moving at will, and you just went, oh, this is going to be done by halftime. I've got shit to do today, and so if this could be over by halftime so I can focus on the Chargers game, that'd be fucking great. And then all of a sudden, it was back-to-back-to-back scoring drives, and then all of a sudden that 16-0 became 16-17 at halftime, and you just went, oh, fuck. So really, it came from Geno just going... And that offense, that one over, as you mentioned, the DK over the top, and it was just like fucking bang, 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 and all of a sudden you're going, oh, fuck, we got life here.
Yep.
And then, but that whole time, I think my key point here in my notes is that even with that comeback, the Niners seemed on cruise control, and it was just kind of when they're like, oh, well, let's deploy McCaffrey and Debo in a slightly different way, and then cover them and Ayuk, and by the way, is Kittle, and then you're like, ah, oh, fuck. Right? And that goes to my second point, is Debo and McCaffrey are different size versions of the same guy. Because, honestly, right, sure. There is a skin tone. There's a slightly skin tone difference. But what I mean by the way that they're deployed is, you know, you've got McCaffrey in the backfield and Debo out wide, and then all of a sudden they're going to go, oh, you're comfortable with covering that? Well, all of a sudden, here's McCaffrey out on the sideline, and Debo... behind Purdy, cover that dickhead, right?
I swear there's... like, if you're a defense, I don't know if there's anything scarier than sort of looking at Brock Purdy sort of wheeling back and then just doing a, oh, tricked you, here's a handoff. It's actually a handoff to Debo. And you're like, oh, fuck, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And he's just like, he hits a crease, he hits 100%. A seam, or he hits a corner, and he's fucking gone. Like, it's... and the thing is, McCaffrey does the same. But he just sort of maybe does it up the guts a little bit more, but he finds a crease and he's fucking gone. But you're right. Like, the way that they sort of just complement each other is absolutely beautiful.
It's crazy.
I love it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and where you, what you commented on before about the Eagles understanding there's a chink in the armor, this sort of offense is perfectly set up for teams like, defenses like the Eagles, who play guys like Bradbury and Slay on the outside exclusively and have a side because they've got the pieces to fucking move around and take advantage of literal matchups. Fuck you. I'm going to match up on the guy and I'm going to the guy who I think is perfect. And then don't care if you got superstars in the backfield, right?
Love it. Yeah.
Sorry,
McCaffrey
in the secondary.
McCaffrey was one of my big sort of plays, like betting wise as well, going into this. And I think he'd like hit all his check marks by halftime, which was like absolutely one of those great betting moments where you're like, ah, we're cruising. As long as they win, I think we're all good. He had like that massive run. He had a had the touchdown, which I think he had the receiving touchdown early, right? So, but just that the way they utilized them was just so fucking cool. And to see it against a team like Seattle, it felt like pads on training, you know? It's just like, this is, we'll just sort of fuck them up. We'll rough them up a little bit. But we'll take it a little bit easy. And the second half, they're like, ah, no, we better fuck them up just a little bit. Yeah, we'll fuck them up a little bit. There you go. And off they went.
Yeah. So my third point, and I'm going to say this, Jimmy.
I love it.
Purdy's all right. He's not fucking great. And put it this way, what have you told me for weeks about the secondary and the defense of the Seahawks?
The shit.
They're pretty fucking shit, right?
Yep.
Right. Take away... the, what was it? The 74-yard Debo fucking 5-yard down the sideline touchdown. And all of a sudden, Brock Purdy against a really fucking shit, by your own standards, defense is 17 of 29 for 250.
Yeah.
Sure, it's fine. against a shit defense. So yeah, I'm like, he's like sixth start as a fucking third string rookie, Mr. Irrelevant. But he's not the second coming of Jesus, right? The comparisons to Tom Brady so far, let's pump the brakes, all right? So I'm just going to say that. He was fucking great. And that 49ers team scares the shit out of me. And right now, if I had to pick a Super Bowl team, it's going to be them from the NFC. That's the obvious above the Eagles. But let's not anoint him as
counterpoint
yet, right?
Counterpoint. He's better than like 15 other QBs right now. Like,
yeah, but look at Drew Brees' stats when he was... You know what it is? It's Drew Brees at the Saints doing 5-yard slants to Michael Thomas and 3-yard screens to Mike Kamara. Fucking taking it to the house,
Purdy,
Jimmy. I said it! I fucking said it!
Purdy at least has a crack, and I kind of fucking love that about him. He's got stones. He's like, actually,
around.
I can...
Part of
he's
his...
like, watch this. I'll make this throw, and then he doesn't. He's like, oh, I didn't make that one. Oh, well, next play. And I fucking love that he goes, oh, well, next play. He has got that sort of weird,
short-term memory.
He's got the short-term memory. He's got the self-belief. And I fucking love it because...
And he dances around a little bit too. Drew Brees was a statue, right?
But, yeah. We're about to talk about another QB in a couple of games time that sort of found that about himself this year as well, and Danny Dimes. And
yeah.
Purdy, I just think, I fucking just love his chutzpah. And I think Trey Lance and the Niners are now just like, what do we do? Like, how can we... We can't kick this guy to the fucking curb and bring in fucking dipshit McGee over here who's never done a fucking thing in his life. Fuck. Trade him? Like, what do you do? You gave up the fucking farm to get Trey Lance.
This fucking...
It's amazing,
he's making
anyway.
This offense hum. You know, they talk about Jimmy G making that, you know, that plug and play. And
at least
Jimmy
Purdy
G
looks downfield. Like, holy shit. So,
and he's nowhere near the price. And they're not committed to a 5-year option because he wasn't a first rounder. So you've got all the flexibility with him without the price tag.
It's
like,
pretty great.
Fuck. Anyway.
And the Seahawks, I mean, they're Dunsky, but I mean, what? They have pick number 5 and they don't have Russell Wilson. Like, that's a win-win. Like, that is fucking great. What a result of a season for a Seahawks fans. Like, you get to have a fun season with, like, just the roller coaster ride of emotion. And you don't have to worry because you're still going to get a top pick because the team that you traded Rusty to sucks because Rusty was fucking off his head the entire season until like last 2 weeks.
And probably going to draft and, I'm sorry, probably going to sign or retain Geno because, I don't know, his main comment, his comments after the game were he wants to retire a Seahawk. So you feel like there might be a bit of a hometown discount because, oh shit, I functioned in this offense.
Yeah.
So hang on, let's keep this one going.
Carroll doesn't hate me.
And
this
make
is
my,
awesome. So, yeah.
That's it. And you end up like fucking retiring with that. But it gives the flexibility to the Seahawks to actually develop and sit someone rather than overreaching for a first rounder that they have to
put in
straight away, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking great. It's fucking fantastic.
I'm currently wearing a Seattle Sonics hat as well, Gaz, as you may know.
Yes.
I'm a Seattle Sonics fan. And that town will love you if you just give your heart to them. Chargers, Jags win it 31-30.
What a fucking ridiculous, what a game.
Amazing.
What a fucking game.
Fucking dumb game. 27-0. Yeah. To quote a dumb ad, if you're out there losing your hair, what was your turning point? Yeah. I think the turning point here was when Brandon Staley just decided to shit down his leg time and time again. but even the 27 felt a bit fucky in that first half. It should have been more because there was that moment in the first half where you have the moment of like, well, we're in the red zone. It's like, oh, no, it's okay. Shit play, shit play, shit play, field goal. And you're like, ugh. Well, that probably won't come back to bite them in the ass.
They're
still at 27. And then, of course, what happens to the Chargers? They give up a touchdown just before the half, don't they? And it was a fucky one, too. It was so quick. It was so shit. They were so bad. They just marched right down the guts. It's like the Chargers are already in the fucking... in the sheds at halftime. Evan Ingram, it was Ingram who got the first touchdown, I think, and sort of just cruises in, off you go. You're like, I mean, it's still 27-7, but it was also that point where you're like, this should have been like 35-0, 30, I don't know, 31.
There was
31,
picks all over the place, Jimmy. There was like, what are we doing? Fucking Lawrence was just giving it up. It wasn't like that they
five
were
turnovers.
Stopping.
Five
it
turnovers.
Like the defense was like stifling them and just like shut them down, no movement. It was, they were moving the ball. It was just every drive ended in a fucking turnover, right? Yep. And you can stop that at a certain point, right? So if you're still moving the ball and you can stop the turnovers, well, then it can end in points rather than giving the ball to the other fucking team.
But
right?
That's it. It's the turnover. It's the muff catch that leads to that field goal. So it's 24-0. The punt hits the Jags punt returner in the helmet.
Oh, Falcon. Got a Falcon on the scon, mate.
Off you go. And so I think it's like, what, a first and goal for that final sequence. Yeah. And they just, that's the shit play. And it's fucking horrible. Like, it's just horrible.
Mm.
They kick that field goal and you're like, well, that felt like a giant waste of a turnover, but still it's 27-0. They'll be fine. And then just sort of back and forth the next couple of plays, just shit. And you're like, oh, is this game already done? And then the Jags score that touchdown. Go into the sheds, 27-7, and you're like, I know they're down 20, but it's only 20?
Yeah.
Like, that's only three touchdowns.
Which is weird.
Like, Trevor Lawrence has gotten it all out of his system now, surely.
And it's fucking Herbs,
with
mate.
All the interceptions.
He's not going to go through an entire second half without putting points up.
But what happens? What fucking happens? Unbelievable run. And it was really, I think, after the... For me, the turning point, again, if we're going to quote a well-watched ad on TV, what was your turning point? It was the missed field goal at 20-30. And that's what you get. That's what you get for going for a field goal up 10 because, Gaz, what have I said before? 10 plus 3 is what?
13.
And what's 13?
Less than two scores.
Less than 14.
Less than two scores.
So if you go for a field goal to make a two-score game a two-score game... You fucking deserve everything you get. And the football gods should be also like, yeah, let's fuck these guys. And you're like, yeah, let's fuck them. Mm. That was egregious. Absolutely egregious. Because this is Brandon Staley. Mm. This is like the advanced stats nerd, defensive guy, but all the offense shit, he's like, he's fine. He's like the guy who's like, nah, fuck it, man. I'm going to go for it. Fourth down, don't give a shit where we are, bro. Fucking check this out. Because I know that 3 points ain't shit, man. We're going to get fucking 7. Then he cowards out, Gaz. He cowards out at the exact moment where you need to go, nah, let's put this fucking out of their reach. No, we'll kick a field goal. What are you doing? Because, what's that, 30-20? It's at the sort of start of the fourth quarter, I think, from memory. And that's kind of the moment where you go, ooh, that game would have been over. But there still would have been, 8-9 minutes or whatever left, but the Jags would have looked at this and gone, 17 points. Like, at that point, you can't really even fuck that up if you're the Chargers. Like, despite being the Chargers, who will always fuck anything up, given half the chance. But you miss the field goal. You give up field position. The Jags come back. They fuck you up. The 2-point conversion. It was always going to happen. I love that Dougie P went for it. Because even at the 30-27 mark, because they scored the touchdown, they go for the two. That's the Lawrence sneak, which was amazing. The dunk.
Yeah.
But Dougie P's balls on that moment, you go, fuck it. Yeah, we'll go for two. We're going to go for the win. It's a playoff game. We're not going to play for the... We're not going to play for overtime. We're not going to play to get it to 30-27.
That is Dougie P.
It's so good because that also, the flip side of that is that it put the fear of God into the Chargers.
Mm.
Absolutely put they're like, oh, fuck, it's 30-28. All they need now to beat us is a field goal. And as soon as you start thinking that, you're cooked. Packer up, boys. And they were. The fucking Lawrence marches down the field. The Etienne 4th-and-1 is just a thing of fucking beauty. Like, this is all just going on, and they deserve to win. What a win. What a win. It was great. The biggest thing out of all of this, though, so that 30 to 20 moment, but also the 7 runs in the second half. I was explaining today to the CoBet crew, you're up 27-7. You almost, if you just ran every play, there's almost not enough time literally for the other team to possess the ball for long enough to score enough to beat you.
Yep.
They ran it 7 times, guys. They fucked themselves. So
with, that touches on one of my points.
Yeah, that's all right. But either way, insane comeback by the Jags. And my last final point, a horrible, all-time horrible call for the commentary.
Yeah.
Al Michaels, the legendary Al Michaels, somebody very clearly gave him an edible beforehand. He was just like fucking sky high. And one of my most hated people, I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's a great dude. But yeah, Tony Dungy can go suck a camel's dick. That dude is fucking the worst. At no point has anybody ever hung out or listened to Tony Dungy speak and just gone, that dude should be on TV. He is a great secondary commentary person. Let's get him in there. He's a fucking excitement machine. Fuck off. He is basically, he is the human equivalent of drinking 48 beers until you're comatose. You're just like, oh, you're just making no sense. You're done. Pack her up, boys.
Yep.
Tony Dungy is the worst human who may have ever lived, including Hitler. Like, we're right there at that point. We're close enough.
I was going to say someone had to say it, but no, you took it further than anyone really needed to say, Jimmy.
Clearly not as bad as Hitler. But still, like, what a horrible call he was. He is basically, the human version of, like, sleeping gas. Like, he's, like, I've had 6 beers and I've taken 2 sleeping pills. Like, that's him walking around. It's just,
fuck.
That was a horrible call. I feel bad for Al Michaels, but he didn't help. But if you're sitting next to Tony Dungy, best way I can explain this, guys, the energy vampire.
Energy vampire
of what's the...
What We Do in the Shadows?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
It's the energy vampire. It's the Colin... Fucking what's his name?
Yeah, yeah. Which is the opposite the fucking Romo game.
Exactly.
Nothing's happening and Romo is ridiculously excited about, watch this. Watch this fucking bullshit. And we're like, Tony is fucking shit.
Like, Tony Dungy is basically an energy vampire. He's Colin Robinson, but a commentator commentator. He's just like, why is he here? Has he just like tranced some fucking executive at NBC into like giving him a job? Because you see him on those halftime things like, and he's like sort of with fucking Jason Garrett, who also sucks. And you're like, how do we not have... who was the person... who's the fucking brain genius in charge of that broadcast and went, you know what we should do? We'll get Al Michaels with Tony Dungy. Al will balance out Tony. So Al shouldn't have to balance out anybody. He's 800 years old himself. Just like, he fucking hated calling in games with Kirk Herbstreit. Because Kirk Herbstreit's never fucking watched a game of NFL in his life. Get somebody half interesting in there and we go from there. This shit isn't rocket surgery. Dungy's horrible. Fuck him off. Energy vampire vibes. And it felt like just that sheer miasma of sitting next to Tony Dungy just sucked the life out of Al Michaels as well. Hated every second of it, Gaz. Don't know if you could tell.
There you go. Right. I'm going to go back to
the game.
Actual talking about coaches, right? So before I get onto my points, I want to segue into like add on commentary into one of your points that was nothing to do with the commentators, Jim. But earlier in the season, I'm pretty sure we talked about fucking Staley's analytics and the fact that he sends mixed messages, right? He talks about, I'm analytics, I'm going to go for that thing and I'm going to be hyper-aggressive. Well, guess what? You ran into the guy who is the definition of hyper-aggressive. Because I was like, the amount of times that I was sitting there at Eagles games when Dougie P was in there going, no, Dougie, we don't need to go for it on fourth down. We don't need to... oh, we're going for it on fourth down.
We're going for it.
We don't need the two. We don't need the two, Dougie. We've been fine with one here. Oh, okay. There's a fucking incomplete pass. All right, cool. Yeah, no worries. So, look, he's got, like, the perfect definition of what Staley wanted to be. But anyway, moving on to my points. Further, going into what you said about the 7 runs,
fucking completely underutilizing a guy called Austin Ekeler, who is kind of okay, Jimmy. He's kind of a bit of all right. The whole game, 23 rush attempts to 45 fucking pass attempts when you spend at least half the game with a minimum 2-score lead. Like, what the fuck? Shorten the game. Other point of note here. Sure could have used some big-ass fucking receiver called Mike Williams. Some old big-ass receiver called Mike Williams who played a nothing game and broke his back last week, which is where we called for your fucking head, Staley. And now that we called for your head and then you shit the bed, I think that's a double whammy you need to go. Because funnily enough, the third and one jet sweep that they failed on, that was sniffed out because it was a wide receiver who had no idea what they were doing, because if you remember, Carter went down as well. So yeah, at one point, the Chargers were down to three healthy wide receivers on the entire fucking field. That third and one jet sweep would usually be taken by Mike Williams. So funnily enough, you could have used the guy that you fucking wasted. Anyway, I wanted to touch on that final outside run call by Dougie P, because as you touched on, it was a thing of beauty. But the steps that went into that were fucking amazing, because they got to the line for that play, that 1 yard play, and you can hear clearly on the commentary Trevor Lawrence yelling, kill, 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 kill. He didn't like what he saw from the defense. As soon as they went to kill, kill, Dougie P's called a timeout, called them back, went back into the same alignment, and what was supposed to be a sneak, he called an outside run that went for more than the one that sent Etienne down the sideline well into field goal range, and it was fucking game over from that play, Jimmy. It went from something that they were going to stuff the middle to Dougie P saw it coming. It's going to be the second most famous play from Dougie P outside the Philly special, and they build a fucking statue for him there, and they need to build a fucking statue for him in Duval, and fucking end it. Let's go, Jimmy. He's got to fucking take these guys to the promised land, but only in the year that we're not in the playoffs. That'd be great.
I just love how like pretty the Etienne play was, though, because the amount of time you sort of see that.
Sucked him in everywhere.
But the thing is, you all, like, when you sort of see a fourth and one like that, I feel like it's literally only the Patriots, a lot of the time, sort of manage to somehow pull that play off, right? With, like, any number of our, like, weird pass catching running backs over the years.
Yeah.
But that was prettier than like anyone that was sort of Brady had, like the weird dump off where you still think, oh, he's still going to get tackled by him. Oh, he made it. He just made it. Etienne fucking flew. It was beautiful. Yeah. So
they had everyone on that defensive line sucked in. Everyone was sucked in.
Yep.
Anyway, what a wild game. Let's move on to the next one. Otherwise, this podcast's going for 3 days.
I think that was like the most like insane game out of everything that we did say. And there were 100%. Some insane ones, but this had the most talking points. And I think just watching it, I'm just like yelling the most out of this weekend. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is happening? What are you doing, Staley? You're a fucking dumbass. And also, like the Trevor Lawrence dunk play, you wouldn't know that it happened if you listen to the commentary. Like Dungy and fucking Almagos, and they've scored the two. It's like, did you see how fucking sick that was? Or like, what is going on here? Like, or are you I mean, it's pretty late. Is it past your bedtime? It might be past. Oh my God. Anyway, angry Jim. Done. Dolphins, Bills, 31-34. Reach for the Skylar Thompson. Oh.
Wow.
One thing I was kicking myself about was not betting the Dolphins into the pluses all week. Because I literally, I reckon I saw two Skylar Thompson highlights during the week, Gaz, and went, that rinsed the bad taste of that Jets game out of my mouth. He's not bad. He's not that bad. Definitely give the Bills a bit chunk, and I never bet it because apparently I'm a coward. He was passable.
Yeah.
And kind of fine.
Two quarterbacks this week, Jimmy.
And this is kind of it. We're like, not bad. Good job, Skylar. Sometimes your offense is talented enough to give your dudes enough time and to make plays. And that's kind of what Miami did all game. Even though, look, a lot of this sort of came down to Buffalo's defense. I don't think they're as good as maybe advertised. And especially since Von Miller went out, they haven't been. didn't this kind of feel like a look-ahead game for the Bills? Yeah. Like they got up 17-0, and I think they just sort of put into cruise control, and then it's like, oh, wait, we actually have to fucking win this shit. And then they did, but it was almost in despite of Josh Allen, who apparently has never met a six-yard play that he likes. He's like, nah.
Yeah.
Six-yard play, fuck that. He's 66. And you're like, come on, Josh. Just pull it in a little bit, motherfucker. Come on, man. I love him, but sometimes, like the amount of times he just missed dudes underneath who were wide fucking open is a little bit worrisome. The thing is, they play the Bengals next week, and it probably won't hurt them so much, but any sort of mooted AFC championship game, I'd be a little bit worried for the Bills. So basically, I came out of this going, I'm not afraid of it. Similar to looking at that Niners game, going, there's a cracks here. I watched this Bills game, went, they can definitely be had by a good team. The thing is, when they play at their absolute best, I don't know if anybody can touch them. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, their ceiling is probably the highest out of the teams in the AFC, but they also have a pretty weirdly low floor, and you can get them. So I came out of this just going, they still put up 34 points. They somehow let the Dolphins with a third-string quarterback score 31. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Sean McDermott's the only defensive coach, I think, as well, left in the playoffs. I think everybody else is kind of, like, from an offensive background, which is pretty weird. But
yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Here we are. Good win by the Bills in the end. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, a couple of things from me. Mine are pretty simple, and they all fucking kind of...
Oh, yeah, good call. The execution. Execution. Hey.
It was fucking Jesus. Like, so McDaniel has made... If you look at the weapons he's bought in, right, or they've bought in, the team's bought in, general manager's bought in terms of, you know, Waddle and Tyreek, and, you know, they've invested in some defensive pieces with Chubb. Chubb's showed up a little bit today, this week. That was great. But then, like, putting up 31 points on, like, that's a playoff, a Super Bowl caliber defense. Like, they can go to this defense on the Bills. And you've got a third-string quarterback and you put up 31 points. Like, that's fucking admirable. Don't get me wrong. There was some turnovers from, you know, from Josh Allen. That definitely helped. Definitely helped. But you still put on... You fucking got in the end zone, right? You put up 31 points. That's fucking great. And then he does some just weird fucking shit. Like, you have a third-string quarterback. Simplify it. Get the call in early. Don't fuck around. They get to 4th-and-1 at the end of the game and don't get the call to him early enough and a delay a game to make it 4th-and-6, right? Like, that's... You've just cost yourself... all of a sudden the defense fucking loosens up. Here we go. Secondary issues, you know, guys like Xavier Howard and the guys that, you know, that were... When they had a shit offense, the secondary of Miami a couple of years ago was... That's where they were at. Those guys have now aged, so even though they've got the offensive weapons, that kind of needs a bit of investment. But the other one was timeout. This is like, hey, do you want to see something funny, Jimmy? Do you want to see something funny? You see, timeout. See how I did that?
I see how you did that.
I just called a fucking timeout.
You called one. That was good.
I didn't mean anything to you. I didn't even need it. I didn't even need it, Jimmy. I just fucking called it to see what happened. And you know what they did? They stopped the game, right? Fucking hell, mate. You know, some of that... The clock management, something that you need to develop. He's got the play set. He's got the skill set in terms of calling plays. The game management fucking sucked.
Yeah.
You put up 31 points on the Bills, mate, and you got to within balls fucking... He's clearly the weirdest coach in the NFL. Like, listen to every fucking... Watch him dance around the practice field. Listen to him in press conferences. I fucking love listening to him because he's fucking hilarious. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. You also don't know when he's going to call a fucking timeout or challenge a play that's going to lose. There's something weird. His record is like one challenge for the entire fucking season.
So good.
Like, either he didn't call it. He didn't call something that where he would have. He didn't throw a flag on something that he would have, and he's thrown flags on shit that just didn't come off.
You wouldn't
roll up.
Yeah.
And like, nah. Jesus. Wait, they tied that up and then sorted out their quarterback that someone who wasn't
constantly concussed and wasn't a third string. This team's going to be pretty fucking good.
Yeah, they'll be good with Tom Brady next year. The vibe I have, though, Mike McDaniel, I love him because, A, I think he's the sort of coach where you go, you can see the potential is just fucking through the roof.
Yeah, it's
because he's like a brain genius. And like, this is literally, you're seeing somebody having like their growing pains like right in front of you.
Yeah,
and I fucking, like, but you know that he's probably smart enough to understand what that is and like how to fix it. And I love that you say, yeah, he's just a weird cat. You're like, yeah, he reminds me of like a mate. Like, you're just like, that's a guy that I know. Like, and that's not like, I don't know any other football coaches. Like, I don't know literally other dudes who would ever be football coaches. But Mike McDaniel, I know dudes like that. And you just understand the way he thinks, the way he approaches shit. And it's such a weird fucking crazy thing for the football world. It goes, oh, he's a bit weird. Is he vaping on the fucking sidelines? Like, yeah, he's just a fucking weirdo.
I saw that day.
It's sick. Let's go.
Anyway,
I love Mike McDaniel. So, like, to be fair, like, the fact that he's in the fucking AFC East in the Pats division scares the shit out of me between him, the Bills, like, whatever. Like, we've got fucking old McGrouch over here who the game may have passed by. And we're looking at these motherfuckers. I'm like, terrified. Anyway, at least we are looking for an offensive coordinator. Next one, Giants, Vikings. 31, Giants, Vikings, 24 in Minnesota.
Wow.
Oh, called it.
Oh, they're the great pretenders.
Skull.
A capital L.
Unbelievable. We called it, though. I mean, I called it in our picks last week. It was always going to happen. I feel like a fucking brain genius for just like all week on Fox Sports, on our show, on CodeBet. I'm like, Giants, they're going to win it. It's the easiest upset call of the fucking season. Like, they only lost on that bullshit fucking incredible field goal over Christmas in Minnesota like 3 weeks ago. Came out, kicked their ass. Danny Dimes looks awesome. I love it. Watching him, you just have like zero clue what's going to happen. But the chaos engine is reined in, Gaz. Like, Daboll is just somehow like quarterback whispered his way into making Danny Dimes just make good decisions most of the time. And it's awesome. Like, not awesome for you because you play them this week, but still, like, I just love that combo. Like, Daboll has stones. Like, this fucking team believes. The way they've just manufactured offense out of nothing on this team is fucking incredible. But, I mean, the biggest takeaway I get out of this game, I'm not really afraid, I think, for your guys. The Vikings stink. This defense stunk. And you've got Kirk Cousins. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, anytime that you are on a 4th and 8, Gaz, and you throw a 4-yard check down, you really Kirk Cousins that one up to finish the game. Just some real amazing shit. Just you've got Justin Jefferson on your team. Just throw it towards that guy. Like, just see what happens. Don't check down, Kirk.
Yeah.
Don't post videos on a private on your fucking jet wearing the chains during the season and then shit down your leg when it's 4th and 8 and you throw a 4-yard fucking pass. Fuck off. Fuck off, Vikings. This is what you get. That's what you get. That's what you get when you mess with the Warriors, aka the Giants. Daboll, great coaching. To manufacture this amount of offense is fucking blowing my mind. So, kind of loved it. It was a really fun game as well. Like, it was sort of back and forth really early. Danny Dimes, the amount of rushing he did. Saquon was good, punching in those couple of touchdowns.
So
like,
first quarter, I don't want to fucking, oh, I fucking hate giving positive. It gives me, it makes me drop. Jimmy, I'm putting positive stats around a division rival. First quarterback in playoff history to be, above 300 yards, above 2 passing touchdowns, and 70 rushing yards.
Not bad.
So it's a pretty good stat line for a guy who wasn't sure who they didn't renew for his 50-year option, but looks like he's on track for an extension. For me in this game, Kirk Cousins proved to be who Kirk Cousins is, right? I've fucking picked on him for fucking 3 years, and I'm sure he's losing sleep over it. But literally, the guy who will put up the stats, will protect the stats line, will be awesome. And it goes back to earlier in this fucking game. It's not even like you could, I'm picking out plays from earlier in the season. There was plays on third and fourth down during this game where he passed 10 yards to go, passed 7 yards to Hockenson, and Hockenson carried 4 defenders on his back to make the first down, to make the entire team look good, right? It's not fucking, that was against his MO. I looked up and I saw two defenders bracketing Jefferson, so I just thought I'd give my player a chance to fucking make a play. No, you did it during the fucking game, you dickhead. It just happens that the one that ended your season is the one that didn't fucking come off, right? So that's the way it happens. Look, if you look at, the microcosm of this game, the Vikings O-line was real bad, right? So the Giants, don't get me wrong, they got Tibbs, they got Dexter Lawrence. Like, they rushed 4 all game, Jimmy. There's no blitzing, and fucking the Giants are known for blitzing to add pressure. They didn't fucking need to, which means that they had an extra player in the secondary, and when you've got one of the best wide receivers in the league and you can play 2 defenders in the secondary on him all fucking game, all of a sudden, guess what, Jimmy? Justin Jefferson gets 47 yards in a playoff game. Right?
That's the...
Take him out of it.
NFL's leading receiver this year as well, who won me some money from a preseason bet. And if you can hold him down... Boom. Done.
Funnily enough, what happened after the game? Adam Thielen's missus came out on Instagram and said, geez, it was a really good time in Minnesota. We'll see you somewhere else. Right? This team is going to be pulled apart.
She was feeling this. I'm feeling this.
The secondary, who was ranked 32nd in the league, just to remind you, Jimmy, how many teams are there in the league?
32.
32.
Nice.
32nd in the league. That's allowed bad. Hodgins? who the fuck is Hodgins? And Slayton to put up 190 yards. Fucking Danny Dimes, known for his great scrambling ability, but kind of questionable long passing ability, put up 190 yards on you, right? And that's it. Danny Dimes, Tibbs, Saquon, and Lawrence were all on fucking point from this game. And all I'm saying is, with the shittiness of the opposition and them looking on point, I have absolutely no idea about what to make from the Eagles game this week.
I love it. The thing that got me was the Slayton drop catch at the end where it's like the game's over. And you're like, nah, this is how the Vikings pull this out. Slayton misses his catch.
There was a couple of those, right?
And you just have this moment of like, nah, this is how the Vikings bounce back and somehow fuck like the Giants over. And it just never happened. Like the Vikings just fell apart. It was coming all season and it just, the magic ran out. What do you get?
I had to make one more Eagles reference to this game, and Jalen Reagor fucking muffed a punt for the Vikings in the playoffs. And I'm like, every Eagles fan just went, "Oh, fucking course you did, Jalen. Of course you did."
Ravens 17, Bengals 24. This was a slog of a game. It all turns on the big guy touchdown. Sam Hubbard. But really, it turns on leaving your feet to sneak a quarterback sneak in from an extra couple of yards out and just...
It was a bit.
Just say, I guess, when you leave your feet, you better hope that you've got a bit of momentum on your side. And if you don't, the ball might get punched out. And then a big guy might return it 98 yards and become the first bloke to have, I think, that was the longest... fumble return there was a higher yardage than the player's number. That was the longest, I think.
That's a weird fucking stat.
I like that one. Sure. That's probably Sam Hubbard. He was fucking all, like, love everything to do with Sam Hubbard. He's going to pop up again later, but my God. The blocking on the back, I just thought time and time again, they're going to trip him up. They're going to be short. And he just kept going,
trucking. Mark Andrews. It wasn't a wide receiver streaking down that field. It was Mark Andrews who clocked up. So the next-gen stats came out about that run afterwards. And both funnily enough, Sam Harvard, because he never ran more than fucking 3 yards at a time. But obviously, he clocked his fastest speed of the season. But yeah, something like Mark Andrews was clocking it at like 20 to 21 miles an hour.
Jesus.
Like fully packed up. Like big that's fella. That's pretty fucking brutal. But now the funny thing that I've Bengals Twitter posted after the game, like spoiler alert, Sam Hubbard was mic'd up for that. Oh, so no. I can't wait. The audio is going to come out
gonna be so
and
good.
It's just going to be this dude just going, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be fucking amazing. And then there's a whole bunch of fucking way smaller dudes just smacking him on the back of the head.
It was so fucking funny.
Anyway. Yeah.
But this sort of story, I think, to come out of this game is that Burrow is just getting chased. No O-line left in this.
The problem, right?
They managed 234 total yards against this Ravens defense. It's obviously pretty good. They allowed four sacks. It just felt like he was under pressure like the entire time. And the shit that he did complete, like you're like, ooh, that was an incredible throw or an incredible catch or something. You're like, can we get just more support out of like Mixon and Samaje Perine? It's like, nah, we got nothing because we've got no time. Every time they try to run it, it's like, we're already getting cleaned up in the fucking backfield because our O-line is just like gone. So it's like, well, throw it to Chase. He's like, I'm good. Like there's a couple of T. Higgins, like one or two misses where a couple of big chunk plays. But other than that, it's just like that O-line has fucked him. And it's...
Mate, it's funny.
It's a problem, Gaz. It's a problem.
It feels that, look, all year we've heard, right, once they got healthy and some of those other injuries out of the way, like what we've heard from Burrow and a whole bunch of the other guys is this feels different. Yeah, we got lucky and got to the Super Bowl, but this team is built different. But we've got the same problems, Jimmy.
Same problem.
The same fucking problems injuries we were talking about last year. It's just that they were getting chased down and that was just fucking...
But
that
this is
the problem.
This even feels more dire than last year, right? Because you've got the backups to the backups out there now because that fucking mass unity that it's just fucked. And
yeah,
I mean, that'll show up, I think, pretty badly against the Bills next week. But anyway, Ravens D did everything they could to sort of keep them in this. The 17 points, like that's why I always felt so confident betting the Bengals is that I just can't see the Ravens scoring enough. Like the Bengals will just manufacture points out of some shit, right? And that's pretty much what happened. Yeah. But the manufacturing was just the Hubbard touchdown at the end, and they pulled it off. So,
mate, that was sending shit to overtime, right?
100%.
That touchdown, yeah. Sorry, come.
That's right. No, Huntley. Look, it was just he tried, but not enough. You know.
Yeah, and that was my key point, right? He did an admirable job, and you know they rested him last week because they knew that game meant nothing, and I think we all had some assumptions based on last week that, you know what, sticking Huntley in there from like, what was his name?
Anthony Brown.
I'm making up names now. Anthony Brown was not going to do that much difference, but it fucking did, right? It was a slaughter last week. There was some chutzpah, as we've been using in the last couple of weeks, into this. So it was fucking good. And to be honest, Jimmy, even after that Hubbard, it came down. That Prochet fucking Hail Mary drop at the last play. I think we're just assuming that was the game over and they lied down and died. But no, they drove back down the field. And
just
Huntley
close enough as well.
And it just came off the fingertips. And if you look at the reverse angle, it came off the fingertips, off the pack. And Prochet was at the bottom of that. And he just fucking couldn't get there. So if that had done it, he would have gone to overtime. And who the fuck knows where we would have gone. But look, mate, the Ravens, they had... Well, to be honest, if they'd lay down and died, no one would have thought much of them. Because, like, no one would have thought any worse of them. Because... they were missing their, you know, the MVP. And at the beginning of the season, he started off with a flyer. And they're like, oh, well, they're just holding on till Lamar gets back. So the fact that they pushed, you know, up there in terms of the top four, five Super Bowl, like, favorite, you know, teams, the fact that they pushed them right to the end, you've got to fucking give them their dues.
It was always going to happen. Like, they're just a tough team. We know that. Like, the defense is tough. It's just,
yep,
the offense was never there all year, right? Like, between running backs last year and, like, running backs and receivers this year, like,
injuries and receivers, they, like, just cannot get a receiving core.
It's like, can you just get, like, one dude? Just one. Like, everybody's got one. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
They've seemed to be plug and play in that running back room because they're just constantly injured. But, and they were pulling dudes off the street last year, but it's almost like they just don't invest in weapons around Lamar, which I guess gets me to my next point. Dude, J.K. Dobbins and Lamar are not friends of the Ravens. Like, J.K. Dobbins, after the game, should have said, at his fucking presser after the game, said, Huntley should have never been in that position. I should have got the ball. It's playoffs. I would have punched that in. Why the fuck were we quarterback sneaking it, right? And sure. Then Lamar made a Snapchat post after it that started, it's long-winded, you can find it online, but the first line was, when you've got something good, don't play with it. And now, for anyone who wasn't paying attention at home, Lamar did not turn up to the playoff game. He did not travel with the team. That is, that relationship is broken. That guy is gone. And
you mean Atlanta Falcons quarterback Lamar Jackson?
Wow.
Yeah. Last one today, Cowboys 31 Bucks. We're fucking so long into this show, it's ridiculous. 31-14 Bucks just, yeah. You knew it was coming. What are they? 2-6-1 against the spread at home this season. They're shit at home. They've just been shit. And that two, actually, they're 2-6-1. One of those was in Germany as a home team. So really 1-6-1 in Tampa Bay. Cowboys came in looking sketchy at first, but put it together. Dak was fantastic. His receivers were fantastic. But I think his poise and the way that he sort of handled that game was really, really impressive. To a degree where you're like... Yeah, it's like you just have that moment of like, I think Dak's sort of rolling here. Four touchdowns, off he goes, and has a scramble one of his own. So the five total touchdowns, and was just good.
Yeah.
Like, made good decisions, and it really took, it was almost like after last week where you're like, yeah, the offense is shit, and it looked like shit. Like, their first two sequences, I reckon, were just like, feel it out. And then Dak sort of got into a rhythm. And it was over from there. Like, finding Schultz, finding Lamb, bit of Gallup in there. Even like one or two of the, like, Noah Brown. That's the guy, isn't it? Noah Brown.
Noah Brown.
Completions to him where you're just like, that was just a good pass. You just made a good decision. That's what you need to be doing sometimes, Dak. You don't have to do everything. It's fine. And he was great. So, flip side, Tampa Bay, bit shit.
They got to rebuild, mate. There's some players on there that, like, they did that kind of patchwork thing to win the Super Bowl, and now it's kind of aging. I mean, Julio got in he got a touchdown. Could it be the last one of his career? Because, fuck, mate, like we were talking about Matty Ryan, like we were talking about, just fucking pack it up, go home, just enjoy the money that you've earned, because you're more injured and going through rehab than playing, and you've got a stellar career to write home about. The one thing for me about the Cowboys is what's changed, you know, being a rival and watching them this year, it seems like Dak is going after the tight end a lot more. And when you've got what Schultz has been doing, it's they're challenging. Everyone's been used to your CDs and your Amaris and, like, these guys on the outside and just going, oh, you know what, you've got to go three cornerbacks to cover the Cowboys because they're always in that formation. And now all of a sudden you're doing 11 and 12 personnel and you're like, oh, fuck, we got to reset. Well, you know, we've got to look after guys like Dalton Schultz because, Jesus, he's going to put us under pressure. And all of a sudden when you've got your linebackers covering the tight end and then you've got guys like Pollard and Zeke coming out of the backfield. It's yep. definitely stretching some defenses up the middle. So it'll be really interesting to see. I'm really, really super keen to see what happens against the Niners because
it'll be fun.
It's the perfect strength versus strength, right?
Great matchup. I love it. You're right. Schultz was awesome in this one too, like because it felt like release valve every time, and he just fucking nailed the passes. It was really
100%.
Good.
100%. But one of the things I think is worth mentioning on this is as fun as these games are, the next week we find out whether we're the knee-jerk reactions against something like the Vikings, who we've called, mate, they're the heart attack kids all year. We've said they're fucking scraping over, they're gonna come a cropper, and they fucking did. And Tampa Bay, who we go, yeah, they were playing at home because they're a division leader, but you know what? The Cowboys won, what, 2-3 more games than them in the regular season? So
four.
It's kind of fucking
four.
There you go.
8-9 obvious, 8-9 right? Tampa Bay versus 12-5 Dallas. Like,
there you go, right? So it's kind of obvious. So the right teams that we expected to fail and the ones that you would expect to look good and take advantage of their strengths are, but now the real playoff team versus the real playoff team is what's going to happen this week, which is where it gets fun.
This one was all like, oh, geez, it's just still very hard to go against Tom Brady in the playoffs, you know. And this is one that, look, I bet a bunch of money on Dallas. I never actually messaged you to be like, yeah, I'm changing my pick officially from the show to Dallas, despite picking them on CodeBet.
Doing exactly that.
Putting a lot of money on them, putting them in CodeBet Daily and everything. But look, Brady was really good at times in this, but not that good. Like, it was his first time losing the Cowboys ever, which is pretty funny. First time picked off in the end zone as a buck. Horrible throw.
Yeah,
just lofted up. Pew, catch this. And just a bit shit. One of those moments you're like, I don't know how much an offensive, like a really, really good offensive line really changes this game. Like, probably not much. It just felt like horrible coaching on the Tampa Bay side all year.
Yep.
And I think this was another one where you go coaching heads on the block kind of vibe at the top of the show. You're like, all right, so we're just going to keep the entire Tampa Bay staff just going. Is that what we're doing? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But this is, it's, I don't know if you've got it. Before I run down your nas to make sure that I'm not coming a cropper on one. But no, this has got this stinks of Tampa Bay rebuild, right?
100%.
Because you've got Tom, who's not at the age where he's going to go through a rebuild, right? You've got a whole bunch of players who will drop off, both via retirement, secondary going, fuck this, I'm not sticking around for this and wasting the while out of my career. The guys who all got pulled together, you got to remember when Tom Brady came to the Bucs, he was a fucking beacon, right? Guys were like, Lenny wanted to come in, and like all of these guys, like Julio signed because it was Tom Brady, right? He's fucking going to an instant contender. If he doesn't retire, he's going to an instant contender, right? Yeah. So which means that the staff doesn't have anything to rely on. The fucking half the players are going, what the fuck am I here for?
Yep.
So this stinks of Tampa Bay rebuild.
Burn it down. Todd Bowles sucks. Yep. Byron Leftwich sucks. Just
Todd Bowles is great as a defensive coordinator.
As a defensive coordinator. Everything else,
leave him there.
It's the old adage, like you promoted above your pay grade, right? Like it's promoted above your level of expertise. The Cowboys defense, you're tempted to go, they're back, guys. They were good. They were a little bit more sort of in Brady's face. Couple of sacks, good pressure. It felt like a couple of minutes, like moments where you're like, that should have been an interception. What are you guys doing? And I don't know. They didn't really scare me, and they haven't really scared me this entire second half of the season. So fascinating to see how they go against the Niners and against Purdy. But anyway, moving along. There you go. That's it. Dallas through, Tampa Bay done, probably just Tom Brady's last moment as a buck. Thank the media and everything after the thing. Anyway, let's hit on some yeah-nahs. Let's do it. Sean Payton is the coach of the LA Chargers next year, Gaz. Yeah-nah.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't looked at their draft capital, but you know what? They've got all the weapons, and to not fully take advantage of this fucking amazing offense with an with someone who knows how to manage a game, develop a plan, and has won a Super Bowl would be fucking criminal.
Yep. My point is, why would you go to any of the other openings if you're Sean Payton? Oh, gee, I want to go to Carolina. Yeah. No. I want to go back to New Orleans. Yeah. No. I want to go to Houston. No. Like, Juzzy Herbs is... Like, I want to hook my fucking cart up to the Juzzy Herbs horse and go as far as we can. Like, let's go. It's so like you and me, so same as you and Drew Brees and me, we're doing it all again. Let's fucking go.
So Sean Payton has said, his interviews has said, I don't need a quarterback because I didn't have a quarterback when I went to New Orleans. I can go and get one. I need a front office and an ownership who follows my fucking thing. You know what? Who's going to follow your shit? The one who built you an offense, like Juzzy Herbs, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, before you even fucking got there, mate. They've got your best interest in heart before they even knew they needed you.
Half-decent defense as well. Like, what are you doing? Just
fuck.
The only problem I can see here, Gaz, is that the Chargers are cheap as fuck. They're tenants in their own fucking home building. They're shit. Yeah. They don't probably want to pay Staley and pay the absolute bag for Sean Payton, but you know what they should do? Mm. Exactly that.
Suck it up.
Tom Brady is the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins next season. Yeah, nah.
There's a little bit. I want him to go to your division, but there's something poetic, and I've said this to a number of people this week. There's something poetic for me about him going to the New York Jets and just fucking winning two games against your Patriots this year just to stick it up, Bill, and then retiring, Jimmy. Just keep you out of the playoffs once and then go, you know what, that's enough for me. Right out into the sunset. Yeah, it's got all of the Favre to Vikings vibes, right?
It does. It really does.
Go from Green Bay to the Jets to the Vikings, fuck with the fucking Packers, retire. Right? Yeah. Him going to the Jets would exactly do that.
Dolphins is slightly similar, but not quite the sheer rivalry.
It's not.
Yeah. No. The thing is, I can't see the NFL letting that happen. After, suspending Stephen Ross, docking them a first-round pick, and just like going, hey, when you did all that shit last year, this year, it's fine. I can't quite see that happening. So, the Jets thing worries me a little bit because, I don't know, Garrett Wilson... There's a couple of, like that defense. I'm just like, oh, fuck. How about Aaron Rodgers on the Jets?
Brees Hall back.
What about Aaron Rodgers on the Jets? Oof.
Yeah, in that media market? Jesus Christ, that's a scary thing.
Ayahuasca for all. There we go. next one up. Do Miami win that game this week if they had Tua? Yeah, no. I'm tempted to say yes, Gaz.
I don't think so because as you mentioned, it was a
look ahead spot.
I can see the next line, yeah. Right? And for this one, I think no because I think the Bills were in cruise control and then it went to, fuck. And don't get me wrong, the 4th-and-1 like could have put the fear of God and like could have ended it, things a different fucking way. But like, I think they would have taken a lot more. They wouldn't have second guessed their opposition if Tua was in there, right?
Do Baltimore win if Lamar's QBing?
See, that's different because that only takes one more drive to have points. And I think Baltimore took them seriously and was just like, yeah, these things, the cards fell the other way. As you said, that defense had Burrow running scared. And I think Lamar on that team could have been those extra few points to one extra drive. And we're in overtime, right? So, I definitely think Lamar could have gone over the line.
I like it. Also, one of the things I hate one of the go-to adages of the NFL is, oh, it's really hard to beat a team three times, guys. Guys, it's really, really hard to beat a team three times. Is it, though? Yeah, nah.
Nah, well, see, the funny thing is those stats are all a bit fucking weird because obviously all of those tropes have been trotted out this week because of the Giants-Eagles, right? So all the stats have come out, and all the teams who've played each other's three times, so, you know, playoffs including blah, 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 blah. The mix of three times going each is tough, but also that third time, whether it's home and away, is tough. So if you're the number one seed playing the number seven seed, and it's the third time and you've knocked your division rival off twice, well, then that's a lot different than you being the away team and you've snuck over a couple of times. If you look at the fucking, say, Giants-Eagles this week, both teams went full strength one game. And then the second time, well, there was nothing to play for. We had a bunch of injuries. They were fucking resting a whole bunch of dudes. So how do you play, like, it's all bullshit, Jimmy. What I'm getting at, it's all fucking bullshit.
Well,
doesn't fucking matter. Every game is 50. Every game is taken from... Every team should play 0-0, Jimmy. Every game is 0-0.
It was weird because the Niners just, you know, rock the Seahawks. You get that. But I mean, Ravens-Bengals, they split that season series because the Ravens punked the Bengals early on in the season. That sort of shit, you know, it happens.
But that was when Lamar was in and playing fucking, like, yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Rest of the vibe.
I've got very little to contribute to this because you come in and have written, like, fucking 18,000 comments for good bloke and shit bloke, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to agree with Jimmy.
Checks out. Like, even Dolphins-Bills, though, like, the same sort of thing happened there, right? Like, they split theirs, and then it didn't really matter. Like, if there's something fuck that's going to happen, I tend to think that it's going to happen during the season.
Yeah.
Not during the playoffs. And, like, we saw that happen time and time again with the Patriots. Good bloke of the week, simply for me, Dougie P, your man. Shredded.
I'm not going to argue with that, mate. I am not going to argue with that. And
I'll eat some humble pie. My humble pie is right there. I'm like, Dougie P is not going to improve this team by like 6-7 wins. Nah, that's exactly what he's done. It's also a testament how shit Urban Meyer was. So fuck him.
Yeah.
People
can easily say they're like, oh, you paid him out when he was fucking, you know, when it was the Eagles. I'm like, yeah, I did. Because the toxic environment that came around that, funnily enough, who's winning and who's losing out of what's happened since then? I reckon some guy called Carson Wentz has gone. And I'm not fucking, I am in no way jealous of Dougie P leaving the Eagles because Nicky Sriracha's doing all right. But Dougie P deserves everything he gets because he's a fucking character first, and every cunt in that room seems like they want to run through a wall for Dougie P.
It was great.
Go for it. Jags.
Took the Jags from literally the first pick in the draft last year to winning a playoff game. It's awesome. Buy that man a beer.
Love it.
Also, that guy's never going to leave Florida again, right?
Nah, fucking
just
no
imagine
way.
That. Going from
him
Philly.
And his giant fucking chin.
Philly, you're there, that horrible cold Philly weather. You're just like, nah. You hang out 1 year in Floridia. You're hanging out in Duval. You're seeing just everybody catching a whole mess of STDs in that fucking, like, bath pool. Ugh. And away you go. Good job, Dougie.
I want him to do just enough to get a fucking statue, right?
I love it.
I want him to be the first coach with a statue in two separate locations.
Sam Hubbard, obviously good bloke of the week. That return was awesome.
Fucking oath.
Legend. Yep. Tom Brady thanking the media and fans. Always a class act. You know that, Gaz.
Yeah.
Buy that man a beer. He won't drink it, of course, until after the season. My favorite, though. My favorite Italian, Mike Tirico. stands in such stark contrast, Gaz, to Al Michaels and Tony Dungy the night before with his excellent, amazing, absolutely fucking bombastic call. It was so
bombastic.
Fucking, he was shaggy. He was absolutely shaggy out there. It was so bombastic. It ruled. Tirico at times this year has felt very by the numbers. I'm just trying to do my best Al Michaels impersonation with Collinsworth here on the NBC broadcast. It's like, nah, we're the number one fucking crew now, bro. I'm the number one fucking guy. Tirico laid his giant schlong on that fucking desk, went, check out this call, motherfuckers. He was so prepared. He added so much to that broadcast. I've loved Tirico over the years to a degree where it's like he's just like the baseline level of excellent commentator.
Yeah.
But he doesn't give any sort of extra. Like, there's no personality. Everything is either like, this is the great, this is awesome. And he's almost at that level the entire time. This one was a special call. It was such a good fucking game call. Go back and listen to it. He smashes it. Collins went, ah, Mike, ah, you got to see this guy, Mike. What he does. Tirico just fucking took control of that game, called the shit out of it, loved it. And it's such a fucking amazing moment to have that shit broadcast the night before and then have Tirico deliver a masterclass the next day. I loved it. So, look, guys, you know me. I love my commentators. I love my jerseys. I love all the extra shit of NFL. And that Tirico call was one of them. I love it. Old mate, no mates. Dick of the kicker.
Fucking mate. He's multiple game-winning fucking field goal kicks for multiple teams.
Can you have Dick of the kicker
for us? Had a fucking sneaky game for us this year, and now he's... He's killing it, right?
40 yards out. Misses that field goal. What are you doing? Brett Maher, as you maybe refer to him if you're American.
Ooh.
We just call him Brett Maher. That's a lot of missed PATs.
Yeah, it is.
Now, this is the one thing we didn't mention early in that Dallas Cowboys rap. Four of them, guys. Four. I, for one, want to put him in. I'll buy him a beer because I won a lot of money today.
Oh.
Thanks to the under hitting. Brett Maher hits literally one of those. My under does not hit, and I do not have a lot of money. Brett Maher is a legend in Jimmy's book. For the rest of the Dallas Cowboys, however, he is definitely old mate, no mates. It's like, hey, yeah, Brett, do you want to, I don't know, fucking hit one of them? One. Just one. Just fucking.
One,
seriously,
mate.
0 for 4? Dude, what the fuck? Seriously. Seriously. Oh, my guy. Like, that is, like, Dak is, like, screaming.
That's gonna cost you. That shit will fucking cost you against the Niners.
The thing is...
Or any other playoff team.
That's in your head now, too. Like, that's the worst part. It's in your head.
Yes.
Joey Bosa. Yips. That's old mate, no mates. Because I'm not going to say that Joey Bosa cost him the game, but he did cost him the game. like that penalty.
That was fucked, mate.
What are you doing? Joey, I know that your family's a bunch of fucking Trump dipshits, but that was probably the biggest dipshit moment of your dipshit career. You fucking dipshit. What are you doing? Like, the helmet throws, and apparently the penalty's not for the helmet throws, but for what he was calling the ref.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the flag was thrown.
You're just a shit bloke because you've called the ref something fucking horrible.
Yeah,
you fucking idiot.
He was already known for his Trump supporting bullshit, and it just happened to be a ref of color. As they're walking off the field, like, you just see Joey just give him a bit of lip, and then the fucking flag fly, and as he walks off, slams the helmet, fucking Staley, like the fucking. The simp, the fucking, holy shit. The
simp is the best word. He's like, hey, Joey, here's your
simp
helmet
is
back.
The fucking best word. He picked up the helmet, gave it back to Joey, who then proceeded
threw
to go,
it again.
Thanks, Staley, and then smashed it again. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. Who, like, let's not forget that Joey was already on an unsportsmanlike conduct, so... I don't know whether he knew that or he just did not give a fuck, but because I'm like, I'm listening to the commentary going,
wait, that's second unsportsmanlike. He's got to fucking go.
He's
right?
gone, but it
he's
was
gone. And then they explain that the fact that it, yeah, the fact that it wasn't against an actual player, that it wasn't taunting, and it wasn't on the field of play, but all these excuses that it wasn't during a play, that it was play with dead, that it doesn't count. But and I'm like, holy fuck, dude! If that's against a ref, how the fuck does that not count as ejection? I didn't understand it. Yeah, I didn't understand it. But anyway, and then violence. Look, fuck. Oh, he should have aimed that at Staley because fucking
might have helped.
Yeah, simp is the right term, right? Yeah.
Thing is, he then goes and has a bitch and moan. It's like, oh, yeah, the refs are after me anyway. He's like, yeah, we got that fucking idiot. He's like, well,
yeah,
they did, well, but it's also because you're a fucking idiot. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Brendan Staley, obviously, old mate, no mates, because.
Oh, I think we've covered that one quite simply enough.
Hit on that a few times. But give, as you said, giving the helmet back to Joey Bosa, go, do it again, man. Do it again. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Dude, stop simping for Joey Bosa. Mike McCarthy dancing it out. Bit of an old mate nomads in my vibe. Because, like, I mean, Gaz, you would dance as well if you just saved the job. Because if they lose that game today, he's done. Sean Payton comes in as your new Dallas Cowboys coach. McCarthy, but he pulls on the giant chain, is given the chain, has a dance. You're like, I don't want to say that. I just don't. Like, yeah, Mike McCarthy, you understand that you suck. You're having a good time. But you understand that you would have been fired if you lost this game. So I feel like there's like a level of celebration when you just go, I'm on to the next game. I don't care. I'm done. I need to focus because I still might get fired.
There's
a few things out there. There's a few things out there, right, where you go, all right, oh, I'll start at the Eagles. And I'm like, Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen, our defensive and offensive coordinators, are up for new jobs, right? They're on the contact list, right? So you're like, well, you know what? Jonathan Gannon, we're going to replace him. Shane Steichen, I'm a little bit worried because, you know, we rely on it. Fucking Andy Reid. Eric Bieniemy, he's been on the top of lists for years. But you know what? Andy Reid's a pretty good offensive coach. You'll be all right. You know what? Kellen Moore, who supposedly designed that entire Cowboys offense, is fucking up there. And we all know, well, the rest of the world assumes that we know, that Mike McCarthy, his job is being held together by his assistants. And his ability to bring a team together, not for his clock management, not for his play calling. So you're just like, oh, mate, if you lose Kellen Moore, who's the Cowboys? The Cowboys defensive coordinator is going to go first, right? How have I gone?
It's the former Cowboys defensive former player, isn't it?
Falcons, the former Falcons.
They got Dan Quinn. Yeah, Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn. There you go. Couldn't type quick enough. Dan Quinn, he's going to get it. He's going to get a home coaching job again this year.
He shouldn't,
right?
That's the problem. So, Dan Quinn shouldn't.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn is the Todd Bowles for, you know, other defensive coordinators. PC principal over there, Kellen Moore, like, just keep him in his role, away you go to. My final no mates is going to be Al Michaels and Tony Dungy, aka the Coma Twins. Gaz, can we just have a rule that you shouldn't have a broadcast booth exclusively populated by two blokes in their fucking 120s?
Unless you're playing, I know you can't do this, right? Unless it's a game that you want to put people to sleep. If it's something that we know is going to be like over by halftime, or no one gives a shit about, or you've got the bunch of people like not watching. But I'm like, you know what? Collinsworth jerking off over Brady, and Tony Romo knowing exactly what Cowboys play was going to be called together in today's game, that would be like a super twins matchup, right? That would have been fucking amazing. If only they could cross networks and just fucking mix and match and just do like, all right, we're just going to pick the perfect pitch for this game, right? Like, well, schoolyard picking the footy team.
There's somewhat
right?
ironic go, aspect.
I want you and you.
The ironic aspect is I feel like you almost go with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman as just like the best combo, right? Like, they fit each other the best.
Yeah.
Al Michaels, yep. Chris Collinsworth, same vibe. Romo yeah. and Nance. Romo, I'm going to get to that in a second. Like, it's not, the magic isn't quite there. I felt like Romo's gotten too big for his boots kind of vibe, but
yeah,
I thought Buck and Aikman were awesome this season under ESPN. Thought yep. they were awesome. Just even today, did a great job with the Cowboys Bucks game. And again, they got hit with that Gage injury. And you're like, this is happening to these guys again. That's fucking
yeah,
wild.
Yeah.
But yep. I thought they were great. But Al Michaels and Tony Dungy, just there's got to be a rule. You can't have two over 70s. I'm making yeah, a joke yeah. about them being no, over their 120s. But like literally, they're both in their 70s. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, do you
yeah,
want to, yeah, yeah. seriously, sit down and talk to one person in their 70s.
Yep.
Not two. Like,
yeah.
not when one of them's an energy vampire. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, you've got yep. yours.
I'm going to race through mine because we're fucking an hour and a half now, Jimmy. Look, for me, my old mate, no mates, I'm like the fucking clock, Jimmy. Why do fucking people hate the clock?
God damn.
This is fucking ridiculous. So let's, like, we'll recount the first one in the Ravens game. The Ravens and Huntley and oh. fucking an experienced coach, right? Down inside the 2 minutes and they were still calling. Nah, let's huddle, guys. Let's fucking huddle.
So 2 minute drill, 30. But with extra huddles.
They doing? Did not use their timeouts, Jimmy. They did not use them because they got to like, oh no, we well, played the.
But they roll
and
over, guys.
Fucking Harbaugh's like, yeah,
timeouts
apparently.
Roll over, right?
Harbaugh's response was, no, 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 we used them correctly. If these plays had been successful, well, then we would have had the timeouts to call. Well, guess Ugh. What? If you'd gone into like, if you'd gone into quick play, you would have had your entire. You would have had your entire playbook open. You could have run the fucking ball.
Yeah.
But you didn't. You ran it down so fucking much by going into a
you
huddle.
You limited what
that
you could
that
do.
You could only play. You could only pass play, sorry. You could only pass, which means that the defense knew exactly what you were going to fucking do. And the second one was delay a game, delay a game, delay a game. And the Dolphins still go from 4th-and-1 to 4th-and-6. And there was multiple... Scott just couldn't, had no fucking clue. So, hating the clock. And the last one for me is Kirk fucking Cousins. Dude, mate, we got it by now. You love your stats. You're going to get into the Hall of Fame by getting your big guaranteed money contract and padding the fuck out of your stats with guys like Justin Jefferson. But you can't fucking, you will never have that ring and that title as long as you throw 5 yards short of the sticks on a 4th down to end your season and expect your receiver to all of a sudden juke the shoes out of 5 other fucking dudes, right? It's not going to fucking happen, dude. You fucking got there. You got to the NFC Championship game against the Eagles a couple of years ago and got smoked. You got to the playoffs as the heart attack kid last year. You got to the playoffs against as the heart attack kid this year. You fucking failed both times. Dude, you got to change your style. But you're Kirk Cousins, so fuck that. Let's yep. move on.
I love it.
I'm a bit ranty today, Jimmy. It's great.
I'm feeling
doing this.
Cousins,
in,
old mate, no mate. It's like just the plain stuff. Is just it sits so nicely with just the way that he just shit himself in the last game. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
It's like yeah. Oh,
yep.
You guys are all crowding around that guy and just going motherfucking thug Kirk. It's like,
yep.
How is that plane ride home now? I'm popular opinion of the day. I'm 100,000,000% firing Staley after the 30-and-20 call for kicking the field goal.
Yeah.
Well, I just pull him off the field at that point and just go, Brandon, we're done here. Joe Lombardi. No, you're fired as well. All right. Who's next up? Fuck it. Juzzy Herbs. You're the offensive coordinator and the coach. Off you go.
doing it all, buddy.
But seriously, like, you throw the bag at Peyton yesterday. Staley doesn't make the plane home. He has to, like, hitchhike across America to get back to his house. I don't give a fuck. He's done. But Romo, this is the thing about the call of the CBS game. You're just like, I don't know, Jim. It's like, I don't know, Jim. I think Romo is just like, he's heard the criticism. He tried to up his game for this one as well. Like, I'm very big on commentary apparently this week. But Romo didn't like it. Not liking it. Might turn around and impress us this week, but jeez. The shine is off the Romo vibe. As the commentary thing, he's predicting. He's a fucking cheerleader. I'm like, no, I don't need a cheerleader for my commentators. I want analysis. I want breakdowns. I don't want a cheerleader. Simple as that.
He used to be just that, right? It was like, oh, exactly. No. Like, in this situation, he's going to do exactly that. I can see the position of that. And everyone was like, oh, fucking wow, that's sick. And now he's gone away from that. And now he's just like...
Happens to all of them.
Jerking off over the...
Happens to all of them. You get too deep. You can't see the forest for the trees. Australian spotty Mitch Wish punted once. Is that right?
Punted once? I could have that wrong, but if I look at that... let me just pull up the fucking stats real quick. I think Mitch Wish, punted once for 57 yards, fucking Jimmy. So I think if I'm correct, I think he finished the year with the... No, that was Dicko. Dicko's finished the year with the highest average of punters. But yeah, if you're going to go out, well, you're not even going to go out. Mitch Wish
goes on.
Move on next week.
And away he goes.
And fingers crossed he doesn't have to punt again because pretty good stat to have. Just come out once, bust out 57 yards, go sit on the bench, and then watch Purdy just fucking... Just dump off to Debo, mate. Should be right.
The best part is the Wish one was an absolute roost. It goes for 57 yards. You're like, yep, yeah, can do. And Dicko on the other side of that same game. So you got the two Aussie punters going head-to-head. Dicko booted four times, average of 48.5. Longest he did, 60. You're like, you cannot tell me that was not a dick-throwing contest between the two of them.
Yeah, 100%.
Some good moments. Love Dicko, obviously, but that's his season done. Mitch Wish... Yep. Goes on. So does Jordan Mailata. Obviously, your boy from Philly just hasn't played yet.
Got a couple of weeks off.
There we go. Yep. And Adam Gotsis with the Jags in round two.
Yep.
Love it.
Oh, so there's a reason. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but Kearns, who we picked up when Sipos went down, if we somehow sneak through the Giants this week, there's a chance that Sipos, he's healing quicker than expected, and he's starting to punt again this week. So if we get it through the NFC Championship game, we may pick up an extra Aussie
on
the Eagle squad for the game. So,
all right.
There you go.
It's Tuesday, Gaz, and out back, Jesus. You know what I've been doing? Me and the squid just wander out into the street and go, what's this? Oh, it's a run-over magpie. Guess what? That's fucking a dirty bird burger. Only at Outback. That's right. We fucking just chuck that in the mincer. Boom. That's your burger. It's basically fucking white meat. Off you go. Magpie burgers only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is that Juzzy Herbs 100% threw that game to get Brandon Staley fired and to bring Sean Payton in. Only at Outback. Basically, I believe that. Like, Herbs, it was almost like he didn't. Dude, like that second half, talk about dudes in a coma. Like Herbs didn't do enough. Not put in a great position by his coaches. You do want to see the great ones, Gaz, though, just rise above that.
Yeah.
I believe Juzzy Herbs is one of those great ones. And decided,
nah.
I've seen enough. This guy sucks.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'll take this one on the chin. We'll lose. Out we go. We made the playoffs. Sure, we're going to lose to the Jags, but whatever. The thing is, like, some of those Herbs throws, it was a mess, but I reckon he has watched this in fucking moron lose him Mike Williams by playing Mike Williams. You're finally healthy. Mm. Your team's finally healthy at the end of the season. Oh, we better play everybody in the final game of the season that's in a meaningless game. Staley, you dipshit. Juzzy Herbs gone, this guy's a fucking idiot. I'm out. He's cost me Mike Williams. We're not going to win this game. And even if we do, we're not going to win the Super Bowl. Because this fucking dipshit's run out our full squad in week 18. Maybe Sean Payton will be better. Let's go. Oh, geez, I missed that throw. Oh, geez, I missed this other throw. Oh, that's a bit tough. Nah, I don't think we should run a run play this time to run down the clock. Fuck, yeah. Bit of white hunting by Juzzy Herbs there, Gaz. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Like it.
Nah, definitely. I definitely think, why the fuck not?
All right.
We'll see what happens next year.
Previews.
If they have the AFC Championship game, we are fucking on cooking on gas.
Let's go. Previews. Divisional round.
Oof.
We split the points this week. Went 3-6, each of us.
Yep.
Obviously, the big lines, I think, were the ones that got us. So, other than that, we split the... I went the Giants, and I never changed my fucking Tampa Bay call, even though I had money going the other way. So, one of those ones Gaz is gonna, I'm gonna lose a beer from Gaz, but I made hundreds of dollars otherwise. So, whatever, I'll take that on the chin. But the First cab off the rank are obviously the 2-1 seeds who will play on our Sunday. Kansas City hosting Jacksonville. KC, you very smartly have gone Jacksonville here, Gaz.
Yeah.
KC have won their last 22 games when favorited by 7 or more points.
Yep.
They don't cover those games in a great
way. Yeah, I was going to say. Lose. There was something I think last
they're
gonna game
win.
I think I won.
They're going to win. Yeah. Don't know that they're going to cover the 9.5. But this is the thing. I think, so we hit on this last week. Was it the last week's show that I talked about?
Last week. When they played the Raiders, you said, they notoriously don't cover. And I'm like, nah, this is a prove yourself game where they're just going to come out after the Raiders last game against the Chargers against the Chiefs was a grind, and they surprised everyone, and then they're just going to come out. It's a prove yourself game. I think this one they get back to do just enough, and I think that 9.5 is a tough line.
I think they win it by 2 touchdowns. So that was kind of like, I just think the Jacksonville Super Bowl was this week.
They played it last week.
And
year. That's the
pack her up, boys, and KC, yeah, nice and rested. Game plan. Andy Reid doesn't lose after buys.
No, he doesn't lose after a bye. He does not lose after a bye.
So you've got Jacksonville. I've gone KC. I like it. Philly hosting the Giants. 7.5 point line.
I hate this game.
I hate this line as well, to be honest, because I'm like, to my brain is like, Philly will kill them. But I know that the Giants play your team tough. So
yeah,
I just had to take the any points.
Division, NFC division, NFC East.
To be honest, all bets this 100% screams you're up by 14 and they score a late touchdown and it's a 7-point
line. What happened
line,
in the first game. We had them destroyed in the first game to the point where both teams were benching starters and there was a couple of fucking garbage time touchdowns, right? But in this game, I don't know. I've just got to favor my boys. That said, I do have money the opposite way on the Giants because I just don't know. I'm not confident that we'll cover that spread, and I like that fucking line for the Giants. But my team, my faith in Philly, rested. We get CJGJ, who played last game. Gardner Johnson's back. Lane Johnson is coming back. Josh Sweat is coming back for the playoffs. Hurts is 2 more weeks recovered. When we played them and smoked them full strength, well, almost full strength, we didn't have Dallas Goedert. So all of those things combined with the week off, I'm just going to go, you know what?
Yeah.
As far as this tip goes, we're going to go outside the line.
Yeah.
Ride the guys.
I just think, yeah, the Giants are just too well coached, I think, to get.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, I know. That's the bit that worries me.
I didn't like the +7. Like, I like getting that extra half point, but just, it's a tough game. Same goes for this one. Buffalo, you've taken them at home, -4.5 against Cincy. I've gone Cincy +4.5 just because I think this is a 3-point game that Buffalo win at home. A replay of the DeMar Hamlin game, which is pretty fucking weird. Three weeks later. And just bizarre. But the Cincy O-line kills me. I just don't trust Buffalo to really take advantage of that as much at the moment. And if since you get a hint of fucking airtime for Burrow, I think that Buffalo secondary can be thrown on. So if he gets, I reckon this would just be like, throw it as quick as you can, Joe. Throw it. Just fucking, if you can see him, throw it to him. Just go. And I think they just cover the 4.5. Like, to get 4.5, I feel good. Since he's great at times, but that O-line fucking worries me. I just don't know if Buffalo are the team that can take advantage of that. So
that's what I was going to say. I feel like it's almost like this entire game comes down to the Buffalo defensive line, right? Can they take advantage of that weak spot in Cincy and not give him enough time to go deep to guys like T. Higgins and Jamar, right? So,
but awesome weird game. Awesome weird game. So these are obviously the Sunday games as well. That's going to be fucking chaos. To get Cincy Buffalo again a couple of weeks after that happened, just nuts.
Yeah.
Is this the game where they whip out the DeMar Hamlin? He's here. Hey, guys, he's here.
So if you go back years ago, I think it was in the 90s when they started playing at the Eagles. This is an Eagles reference. Of course it is. They started playing that Rocky theme, and then fucking Sylvester Stallone stood up on the fucking balcony with an Eagles jersey. Fucking Hamlin getting up there, jersey, Rocky theme, fucking get it up there. Josh Allen comes out and just runs through cunts for the first three drives. It's 21-0 at the quarter. Game over. Fucking see ya.
Yeah, I don't trust Cincy to come back from 21-0, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
So the first three are different. I like that. And the last one we've gone the same. San Francisco minus -4. Yeah. This is like a provisional line. It was like not widely circulated, but it looks like that's where it's landed. San Francisco minus -4 against Dallas. We've both gone the Niners. Better team, better defense. Worry about it a little bit.
Better rounded team. They have won. What are we? Are we up to 11 in a row?
Yeah, it's 11 straight.
Niners, 11 straight for the Niners. And there have been question marks. Yes, there was a massive question mark over Tampa Bay. People were tipping Tampa Bay on reputation alone. And it was all about Brady. I think if you go before that, the last month for Dallas has been sketchy at best.
Yep.
So I think coming against they haven't really fronted up against a real team. And the Niners are pretty fucking well-rounded, man. So, and playing at home. So I just feel like... Yeah, Niners got this covered.
Had to go against them. I did initially think, like, actually Dallas might be the team because, like, everybody's on the Niners. Everyone goes,
yeah,
this is
everyone, well, everyone's got chinks, right?
And this is the thing, like, Dallas, you go, they can throw it. Dak will give him, like, a bit of a chance here throwing it. But it's also, we always sort of, like, vaguely overreact to one team's first round victory. And it's like, oh, Dallas. Like, I was very tempted to go Dallas +4. Fuck it. Yeah, they might keep it close. They might win it outright. If you can believe they can win it outright, then you should probably take the points. I feel like they're the team that I'm going to overreact to from the first round, though. Like, I'm like, oh, the way they handled the Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay was shit. Yeah. Yes, Seattle was shit, but San Francisco have been fucking awesome. They've won 11 straight. Like, that's a track record. Dallas's track record is sketchy. So, yeah, let's go Niners. So, I won the regular season. With the picks by 9, we're 3-3 at the moment. We've got 3 different out of the 4 this week. I love it. So shit's going
to
get a bit wonky.
That I got that down to 9. At one stage it was looking like a full slab at one point.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
You're 14 to 15 a week back. 18 really pulled it back. So. but there you go. All the games picked.
Wow.
Let's go. Super.
Considering there was only 6 games, Jimmy, that was a long episode.
Fun week to talk about though. So
it's good. It was a good bunch of shit to talk about.
The Super Wildcard round is done for NFL Australia. But remember, we're weekly. That's what we do. Yeah. Back next week. In a weird usual fucky divisional round in NFL Australia. Is that this week?
I'll be somewhere in the country. Yeah. I'll be somewhere in the country, Jimmy. I might be recording this from my tablet. So good luck with that.
Should be good.
I apologize for whatever quality standards.
Might be solo gym this week. Who knows?
Yeah. Fuck. Who knows?
Anyway, check us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG. Thank us a rating, review, star, it all up on all your podcast apps, all that good shit. Big thanks also go to the House Hats? House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule. Get around NBA Australia. Cruising at the moment. Good NBA. Just, yeah. So much good shit. Get around CodeBet. That's a good website. CodeBet Daily. Good podcast. Fox Sports Lab NFL. If you like NFL, you're not watching Fox Sports Lab NFL with my good friend Freddie Mitchell and my good friend Matty Campbell talking all things NFL. What are you doing? This week, I think we've got Dicko hosting. So Ben Dixon, me and Freddie going head to head with a bunch of stuff. So. Good times. Gaz, you got any plugs?
Yeah. I put out a post today. So obviously, Eagles Australia is kicking back in with the playoffs kicking in. But what I've put out a post for is people who are venues who are posting the championship games this week. So you can, if you're in Sydney, there's a couple of guys who've hit me up. Mac and G's in Crow's Nest. It's a little sports bar with good craft beer. Good food. I've dropped in there before. They're doing drinks packages and stuff. And if you go and check them out, They're also doing a Super Bowl package that you can sign up for. And it is Chubb's Bar. If you're also in Sydney, out in Brookvale, out near DY and Narrabeen in the Northern Beaches, you can go and hit up. They've got a what they're calling their Any Given Sunday official fan party where you can go and book tables for teams and shit. And they got the games going on. Obviously, all the sports bars around the country should be hitting it up. But there's UFC on this weekend as well. So just fucking make sure that you kick those fuckers off and just talk about... it's Eagles Giants, you dickheads. What are you doing? It's Sunday. Get away.
I like
if you
it.
Can't watch... If you choose UFC over Eagles Giants, you must be a Cowboys fan. There's something going on there.
Feel it. All right, and we'll have our own Super Bowl party. Looks like...
But it's going to be Caddy.
Catfish, Caddy? Same as each year.
Yeah.
So
Catfish. Love the Catfish.
Well, I don't think we can do anywhere else at this point. We're just going to do it because it's the best fun. So
yeah, that's gonna we go. Rock up. We put it up. There's cheesesteaks from Sparrow's, Philly cheesesteak. We get up there. We talk a bit of shit. Smash the game. Big off screen. Injector.
Good
off
time.
You
go. Tickets, I don't know if they'll be doing the tickets again. They probably will be just because it's limited space, so...
We usually do it. Yeah, that's easier, one of those things. So. But we'll hit you up, guys. Follow our Instagram and Facey
we'll
and stuff.
All
and we'll
the
post
dicks.
Links and so will our friends at the Catfish. And then, we'll take it from there.
Easy. All right, well, there you go. Super Wildcard Weekend done. That's it.
Knocking it under 2 hours, Jimmy. What the fuck's
just
going
as
on
well,
there?
Just as well. All right, we'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See ya. I wish that I knew, and then I'd still wear it on.